begin in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeatedly, endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God.'" First he said, "Sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though the law required them to be made." Then he said, "Hineni, here I am. I've come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their heart and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. For where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you today and we confess our own sin, our desperate need of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, how thankful we are that you have given us your word. How thankful we are that you've given us not simply the written word, but you've given us the living word, the one who became flesh and moved into our neighborhood and become one of us. So, Lord, we come to you today, and we pray that your name will be glorified. We pray that your people will be edified as we open your word and as we look into this text of Scripture. Lord, we come acknowledging our desperate need for your presence, for your grace, as we move through this time. Lord, I pray that you would enable these lips to speak words that will glorify you. I pray that your people will have ears to hear the things that you want them to hear. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It is really a great delight for me to be with you today. And I have decided on looking at this passage in Hebrews. It actually would take several months to do justice to all that's in Hebrews chapter 10. But I've entitled the message, "Hineni." That's a Hebrew word that simply means, "Here I am." I've been very concerned recently with the whole issue of identity politics. And if any of you are familiar with the Olympics, you know their opening ceremony was an insult to our identity as those who have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Constantly you see the issues come up with the boxing ring and what gender. Are they male? Are they female? Are they somewhere in between? In fact, in our class during Sunday school, we're going through Truman's book, Strange New World, and we're trying to think through this. What does it mean to be an image bearer. And as it seems to me, we have three options, maybe more, but at least three basic options. We can answer back to God in appropriate ways. We can talk back to God in inappropriate ways. When I talk back to my mom or my dad, it didn't usually go well with me. But there are those who backtalk God. Or we can turn our backs on God and live as if he doesn't exist. And so today I want to ask you to think with me about what it means to answer back appropriately to God. So I want to give you a quick Hebrew lesson. Okay, I know you expect Pastor Paul to do that, but I want to give you, you know a number of Hebrew words already. We sang them in the songs. Hallelujah. The Hallel is praise. Yah is praise Yahweh. You know that. You know the word Yahweh, the word capital L, capital R, capital D. It's called the Tetragrammaton, Yod, Hey, Wow, Hey. And they actually would not even pronounce that word. They substituted it with the word Adonai. You know the word Mashiach or Messiah. That's a Hebrew term, you know. Some of you know the word Yom. What's the word for Yom? You have Jewish friends that observe Yom Kippur, the day of covering. Yom is the word that means days. You all know shalom. You know, if I see you in the hall and say, Mashlomka, you know, I'm asking, how is your peace? And you're going to hopefully say, Tov Ma'od. You know, it's very good. Not Ra Ma'od, it's very bad. You all know the word amen, right? That's a good Hebrew word. I want to add a new word to that, and that is the word Hineni. Now, in the 70s, there was a group of Messianic Jews called Jews for Jesus. They did an album called The Liberated Wailing Wall, and in it they had one song that they did Hineni. I love the song. I've listened to it a dozen times in the last couple of weeks in preparing for this. And the focus of this is telling us how we should say Hineni to the Lord. And they go on to explain it. They talk about Abraham when he was sent to offer, when God addressed him to offer a son. His response was, Hineni, here I am. And when Moses was at the burning bush, you know, he responded to God, Hineni, here I am. When Isaiah saw the glory of God in that great vision in the temple, and God said, who will go for me? He said, Hineni, here am I. And so in that song, I love the chorus, Hineni means I'm ready, Lord. Hineni means I'll go. Hineni means I'm listening, Lord. Tell me, Lord, what you would have me know, what you would have me do. And I want you to think about that today. That becomes, I think, our foundation for how we live our life. Not just thinking Hineni, but saying it. Saying to God, Hineni, here I am. I'm ready. I'm reporting for duty. I'm dressed and I'm ready to go. What do you want me to do? What do I need to know? You've got my attention, Lord. I'm listening. And so the burden of my message today is to encourage you and to challenge you to not just say Hineni, but to mean Hineni. Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I'll go. Lord, you know, I'm listening. What do you want me to know? I was struck last week by Jake's message as he looked at the passage in 1 Peter chapter 4. In fact, he said he'd never heard anybody preach through 1 Peter. I've preached through 1 Peter three different times, and I actually sent him my notes to prove that and to say, yeah, this is a really important book to me. But you remember he said in one section, don't be surprised like something strange is happening to you when you go through struggles. Yahweh is behind that. He's at work even in the suffering and in the problems that are there. Our response is not to challenge God, not to suggest a better way for God to do that, but our response is to say, Hineni, here I am. You know, I'm ready. You know, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Friends, there are not things just happening in your life. You all remember years ago, Doris Day sang a song, Que Sera, Sera. When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what would I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? What'd she say to her? Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. It's like, whatever. Is that the way we live life? Que sera, sera. No, we live life with a sense that we have a God who sits on the throne that does everything according to the purpose of his will. I've heard people say in the past when God brought some real answer to prayer or some work in their life, now that's a God thing. Well, that's true. But guess what? Everything is a God thing. When you wake up in the morning and you're still breathing, that's a God thing. You know, when your husband hasn't deserted you or your wife hasn't burned your eggs, that's a God thing. You know, everything that happens, God has his hand. God is not sitting back watching to see what might happen. He's in charge of this thing. And we need to come to the point that we learn to say, Hineni. Here I am. Lord, I'm ready. I'm waiting for you. I want to walk through quickly. Again, this passage needs so much more attention, but I want to draw out particularly that one section. In Hebrews chapter 8, he talks about this new covenant and Jesus, this great high priest. In chapter 9, he talks about worship, the old worship, the new worship. And one of my favorite verses, verse 26, once for all, at the end of the ages, he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Then he comes to chapter 10. And in chapter 10, he's going to show this glorious change that's taken place from the old covenant law to the new covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. So he's going to say the law was deficient. It was not able to remove sin. Remember we talked about Yom Kippur, the day of covering? Those sacrifices covered over sin, but they never removed them. And so he says, get hold of this. The law, because it's a shadow of the things to come, not the reality of that, it can't remove sin. And if it could, they wouldn't keep doing it again and again. How many of you want to take your car to a mechanic 6 weeks in a row to fix the same problem? No, if it's fixed, you don't go back. Why do they keep offering it again and again and again and again and again, year after year? He's going to say, that really is a reminder of our sin, that sin can't be removed. And he's going to say that the blood of bulls and goats, it can't take away sin. It may cover it over for a time. We may pull up the carpet and sweep it under there, but it's still there. But I love this. He says in verse 5, when Jesus came into the world, this is the incarnation. When he's born, when he comes into the world, he said, you know, you didn't want these bloody sacrifices, even though the law required them to be made, but Hineni, here I am. What does Hineni mean? It means, I'm ready, Lord. I'm going to go. That's exactly what he did. He left the glory of heaven, and he came down to this earth. And then he's going to say, it's not the sacrifice. You prepared a body for me. And in this body, he's going to lay that body down and suffer the kind of abuse that you and I could never imagine. He's going to say, Hineni, here I am. Here I am. I've come, what? To make a splash? I've come to check out the world, see what it looks like. I've come to do your will, O God. And notice again, it's him talking to his father. I've come to do your will, O Lord. And I love the way that he says that when he entered into the world, that he came for this very purpose, that he might accomplish our salvation. That's what we celebrate every Sunday when we gather together. And he goes on in this passage to say, you know, the old is passing away, and Jesus promised he's going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. He's going to make a new covenant with us. And I want to underscore that sense of covenant, because if you don't understand the sense of covenant, you'll get all mixed up when it comes to your identity. You cannot understand your identity apart from a covenant God and you being a covenant servant. You exist by his will and his authority. And so we're going to be looking at that as we go through the section today. And I wish we could say more about the Hebrews passage. We'll have to come back and do that another time. But I want you to see those words. At the critical point, Jesus said, it's not the bloody sacrifices, it's not the ritual, but I have come to do your will. That's what his purpose is. That's what he wants to accomplish. That's what he is going to accomplish. And so when we think about this, I want you to kind of walk through your mind, Hineni. What exactly does that mean? We have not just the example of Christ, we have it often throughout Scripture. Moses, you remember, at the burning bush, God said, take off your shoes because the place you're standing is holy ground. What did he say? He said, Hineni, here I am. Think about Abraham. The very son that God said would be the line through which the Messiah will come, he said, I want you to go and sacrifice your only son. Now, how would you have responded to that? You know what Abraham said? Hineni, here I am. And he took his son, loaded up the wood, and away he went. You all remember the account of Samuel? Samuel was a little boy that Hannah brought and left with Eli at the temple. And one night, Samuel hears the voice, Samuel! And he goes to Eli and said, what do you want? He does that three times. The third time, Samuel says, it's not me. That must be Yahweh addressing you. If it happens again, you go back and say what? What? Hineni. And what did Samuel do? He lay there and said, Hineni, here am I. What do you want for me to do? It began a life of ministry as one of the prophets. I love Isaiah chapter 6. He sees the glory of God and he realizes his own sin, and they take the coals and purify him. And God says, who will go? What does he say? Hineni. You know, here I am. You know, send me. Let me go. You've got my attention. What do you want me to do? You remember Mary? Luke chapter 1, young virgin. Angel comes to her, scares her to death. And the angel says, you're going to have a son. The Spirit of God is going to come upon you. This child that's going to be born will be the Son of the Most High. What did Mary say? No way, Jose. You know, this is beyond my pay grade. What did she say? Now, she didn't say Hineni because she's not talking in Hebrew. But she says, here is the handmaid of the Lord. May it be to me according to your will. There is the ego eimi, I am. You see that with Mary. Friends, there is a place for a formal response when God addresses you. In each of those cases, here is somebody that God is addressing. And their response is a response of, here am I, Hineni. As I was thinking about this, not only do we have this with some key people throughout Scripture, but preeminently we see this with Jesus Christ. I want you to think about some of the times that he said to his Father, Hineni. Before anything ever existed, some call this the covenant of redemption. The Son said to his Father, as they planned out the scheme of redemption, Hineni, here I am, I'm ready, Lord. I'll go. You've got my attention. What do you want me to do? And from the very beginning, the Son bowed to the Father, not just as God, but as the covenant Lord, and said, I'll do it. We read Psalm 40, where he says, you know, sacrifice and offerings, but a body you prepared. I have come. Here I am. Hineni. That's the word that he uses. Can you imagine? We read the passage in Hebrews where it said, when he came into the world. Now, think about this. Moving from being the eternal God, the eternal Son of God, to coming within the womb of the Virgin Mary and taking on human flesh. What did he say? He said, here I am. I'm ready, Lord. I'll go. What do you want me to do? And if you read through the Gospel of John again and again, what's Jesus doing? His own thing? No, he's doing those things that please the Father. He's saying the things that the Father wants him to say. Remember at his baptism? When he comes to John, says, I need to be baptized. And John said, no, I need to be baptized for you. And Jesus says, no, it's necessary to fulfill all righteousness. And there he baptized him, and as he brought him up out of water, a voice from heaven said, this is my Son that I love. And the Spirit of God descended on him and accomplish that promise that he would give the Spirit to him without measure. What's happening at the baptism? Jesus is saying, here I am. I'm ready. It's essentially the formal commission of Jesus to his ministry. He receives the Spirit, and he begins his public ministry. Remember the Transfiguration? I would have loved to have been there with James and John. And he comes white as light, and Moses and Elijah, you know, appear there with him. And what does Jesus say? Here I am. And the Father out of heaven says, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? As he asked his disciples to pray, to watch and pray with him, and he goes to pray, and they fall asleep, happens three times. And what does he pray? Lord, bless us real good. Father, take this cup from me. In fact, the text says he was absolutely crushed and broken by the weight of this, and he cried out, Father, take this cup away. But you remember what he said? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. This is the reason I came. What's his posture? Here is his Hineni there in the Garden of Gethsemane where his disciples are asleep. Remember when he was arrested? And they came with the clubs and the swords. And he said, who are you looking for? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, ego eimi. That's the Greek corresponding. I am. They fell over backwards. We need to talk about that more sometime. I think the very glory of that simply blew them out of the water. What's happening there? Jesus is saying, here I am. What do you want me to do? I will go to the cross. Remember Hebrews 12? You know, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? Because this was the Father's will, that he might redeem a people for himself. At his resurrection and his ascension, you remember he went back into heaven, and he goes back with the offering to present, and he says, I'm back. Here I am. And I come now with the offering that is going to satisfy the demands of righteousness. Friends, listen to me. Jesus set a pattern for us. We looked at some examples of those. Now, we got to ask the question. I want to try to answer four different questions. Why and what and when and where? Why does this make sense? Why does it make sense for Abraham to say to God, here I am? Why does it make sense for Isaiah to say, here I am, send me? Why does it make sense for Jesus to say, here I am, when they're about to crucify him and put him to death on a cross? What is it that causes that to make sense? And friends, listen to me. The answer to that is simply, he's in covenant with his Father. He's going to follow the demands of his Father. That's his identity. He is the Son. He is the covenant servant of Yahweh. And I've been so struck by this in realizing that when we talk about us saying Hanani, well, who does God think he is that he can tell me what to do? And the answer is, because he's God and you're not. You know, he's the Almighty and you're not. He's infinite and you're not. He's holy and you're not. It makes sense to say that because God is God. Not just a God far away, a God that's entered into a covenant relationship with every human being. That's what it means to be made in the image of God, to be a covenant servant of God. And friends, listen, we are not sovereign selves. We are not expressive individualists. You come to our class on Sunday morning, you'll learn all about those things. That's not our identity. We're made as covenant servants, answerable to God, answering back to God. Remember the creation? He said, let there be light. And he said, no way, not doing it today. No, he said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let the earth bring forth vegetation. They said, no, not now. No, it brought forth reputation. Listen, all of creation is answering back to God. The only one that talks back to God, and the way I'm talking about it, are human beings because of the impact of our sin. Now listen to me. I don't know how to say this clearly enough and forcefully enough. The Bible, you know, gives us a picture where we recognize human beings are placed in a dramatic narrative that defines our existence as inherently covenantal, fully engaged with God and with each other and with the world that's around us. The image of God is not something in us that's semi-divine. It's not something you have, but it's something between you and God that's essential to what it means to be in a covenant relationship with God. This covenant relationship is not something that's added on later. It's intrinsic to our creation. That is who we are. Friends, listen, we are all covenant servants. Whether you've trusted Christ or you haven't, you are his image bearer, answerable to him. We're all covenant servants. Whether as heirs of the promise who call on the Lord's name or as rebels against his cause, we cannot escape who in fact we really are. See, that was established in creation, and now in the new creation of Christ, we're realizing that identity. Hear me. It's only as we take our place in the theater of creation that we discover ourselves as God designed them to be. Please listen to this. I wish I could say this with all the force that it deserves. No one can escape the reality of God and his or her experience, because there's no human existence possible or actual apart from the irrevocable covenant identity that belongs to all of us as those made in the image of God. So why does it make sense to say Hineni? Because God's God, and you're his covenant servant. You're answerable to him. He wants you to respond back, to answer back to him appropriately. So the question is, why is that so hard? Why do we read so many accounts in Scripture and see so many examples of that, of people that are talking back to God, not answering back? Let me remind you of some examples that we see in Scripture. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? They didn't answer back, they talked back to God. Satan said, "Has God said?" And in contempt, they took the fruit. And it brought sin into life. Everything that we know about sickness and death comes back to that. You remember the Exodus? You remember that Moses went to Pharaoh and says, "The Lord says, let my people go." Remember Pharaoh's answer? I bet he regretted that. Who is the Lord? Who says? When we were kids, and I grew up in a family with five kids, and sometimes my mom or dad would give one of the kids the authority to tell the others what to do. I remember one time my sister coming to me, she's only a year older than me, for heaven's sakes, and she said, "You're supposed to hoe the garden today." I said, "Who died and made you boss?" Okay, that's exactly what Pharaoh's doing. Who died and made, who are you that I'm Pharaoh, I'm the God of Egypt? And he learned that lesson when he was drowned in the Dead Sea. Remember Jonah? God said, "Jonah?" Jonah said, "Hineni, here I am, I'll go. No, he said, "Not going. Not me, not today." He took a boat in the opposite direction and ended up in the belly of a fish. Didn't go well for Jonah. I read recently in Jeremiah the story of Jehoiakim. I know Jehoiakim's one of your favorite characters in the Old Testament, right? Jehoiakim was the king that was in the place in power just before the Babylonians took over. And God said to Jeremiah, "I want you to send a message to Jehoiakim, and I'm going to have you dictate this to Baruch, the scribe. He's going to write it down." So he wrote down the message of warning, and he sent it then and said, "Go read this in the temple." And the people heard it and said, "Wow, this is pretty awesome. We better listen to this." And they took it to the next level up. It eventually got to the king, and the king said, "Bring it in." Do you remember what he did? Every time they read a sentence or two, he cut it off with a penknife and he threw it in the fire. And then he cut another part off and he threw it in the fire. Didn't go well for Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim is thumbing his nose at God and saying, "You have no place here." You remember Peter, when Jesus said he was about to be crucified, and Peter said, "No, it's not going to happen this way, Lord." And he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Remember when Peter, with curses, denied that he even knew the Lord? That was not a Hineni. You remember Judas? For 30 silver coins, he threw everything away. Didn't go well for him. Friends, listen to me. It doesn't go well for anyone that thumbs their nose at God. I'm going to read a poem to you. I heard Morgan Freeman do this. I'm not Morgan Freeman. How many of you recognize the name William Ernest Henley? Yeah, a few hands go up. But I promise you will all know the last line of his poem. This is the poem that Timothy McVeigh recited when they were executing him. This was a favorite of Nelson Mandela. It was a favorite of John Lewis, the civil rights activist. This was a favorite of John F. Kennedy. It's a poem called Invictus. Invictus means unconquerable. Listen to this, and listen not just to the words, but to the attitude that's in here. Is this a covenant servant that's saying, Hineni? Listen to it. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. He was an atheist. He didn't know God. So everything that happened was chance to him. Beyond this place of wrath and tears, you understand why Timothy McVeigh would have quoted that. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. Now listen to the last line. Matters not how straight the gate, how charged the punishments with scroll. Now, do you get this? The straight gate, entering in through the straight gate, the narrow gate, and we're going to give an account. He's going to open the scrolls, and it says, it matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. Now, say it with me. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Boy, there's no Hineni there. There is this fist in the very face of God that challenges him. On a lighter note, I hope this is not your favorite song. You remember Frank Sinatra's signature song? I did it God's way. Is that what it was? Now the end is near. I can't sing like Frank Sinatra. I'd sing it to you, so I'll spare you the grief. But listen to the words. Now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but he says, I did it my way. There are a few times I bit off more than I could chew, but I ate it up and spit it out. I did it my way. I've loved and laughed, had some difficulties, but no, I did it my way. Now listen to the end. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has naught. To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. No submission. Not going to do it. I'm going to do my thing. God has no place. He said, not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Yes, it was my way. I want to tell you, friends, there are a lot of people that live their life that way while actually singing that tune and putting it out. I did it my way. Why is it so hard? It's because of how twisted our hearts are, the impact of sin. See, the fact is, we don't want God in our face. We're too busy paying attention to other things. Sometimes it's just half-hearted. It's a bait and switch. We'll do something we think that God will approve of that isn't the real thing. Let me tell you what I think one of the major problems are. One of the major problems is there really is a sense that there's no one there to say, here I am. God's not there. Many of you struggle with that in your own life, a sense that God is not there as you pray, as you read the Word of God, as you listen to sermons. And I want to say to you, my friend, God is there. He's never left you, never deserted you. So I come maybe to the hardest part of this. How do you say your Hinnanis? How do you say that? I tell you, it's easy to say Hineni. It's hard to mean it, isn't it? I want to try to illustrate this in the best way I know possible and tell you about my own life and the Hinnanis that have come along in my own life. And I'm not holding myself as a model of someone to emulate. I'm setting myself out as a common, a covenant servant that struggles with saying Hineni. You know, here I am, Lord, I'm ready. I'll go. I'm listening. What do you want me to know? Tell me. When I was 4 years old, I went to a vacation Bible school. I hadn't turned five till October, and it was there the gospel came home to my heart. And as a little guy, four, almost 5 years old, I didn't know the word Hineni, but that's what I said. Here I am. I'm listening, Lord. What do you want me to do? When I was in high school, my passion was math. I grew up in the Triple Cities in New York where IBM started. And at that point, everything was about math and IBM and the algorithms and all the rest of that. There was a bright future. I had I was established in a university to go on and study math. Was going to get to play, had a scholarship to play soccer. The last half of my senior year, God said, no, I want you to go to Bible college. And I'll forget, the guidance counselor just erupted, said, you are an idiot. You're throwing your life away. Look at everything that you have to gain in this career path. And I said, Hineni, here I am. And I went to a little rinky-dink Bible college. And my whole life was changed because of that. I wish I could tell you the longer story of that. And then in January of 1970, my wife was actually engaged to my roommate. And they were scheduled to be married 3 weeks down the road. And I convinced her, he's a loser. That's not the path to go. And it changed from Hineni to Hinenu, okay? Here we are. Lord, what do you want us to do? What a joy. Everyone in our school, you know, in a little Bible college, that's scandalous in so many ways. But God gave us 53 years together. When I went into pastoral ministry, Anna and I talked about that and said, you know, we're probably not going to get rich. We're probably not going to get famous. What are we going to do? And it wasn't me, it was us. And we said, Hineni, here we are. We'll do this if you'll provide for us. And I can tell you now, almost 60 years later, God provided for everything that we've ever needed. God called me to pastoral ministry. And I wrote this as my Hineni to the Lord. By your grace, O Lord, I'll lead your church to embody the kingdom of Christ by staging your love together and so becoming through the Spirit a theater of hope powered by the gospel for your glory and the joy of all people. Friend, that was my Hanani in terms of pastoring, and God allowed me to do that. I started that in 1973. This is now 51 years later. One of the great Hananis was having children. Remember when Gary was born? I was pathetic, in terms of being prepared for all that goes with that. I was a young guy, and God gave us a son. And we said, Hananu, we're ready, Lord. What do you want us to do? 13 years later, we were told he has Williams syndrome. And how do you respond to that? Just say, oh, que sera, sera. Doesn't work that way. We had to struggle to say, Hananu, here we are, Lord. What do you want us to do? How do we minister in this situation? I still remember the church in New York. We love the people. We love the church. And long story, I can't tell you the story, but I had a staff member that went rogue and just divided the church, and we were forced to leave. It's hard. It was hard to say Hanani, to say, okay, Lord, this is your will. We're going to do it your way. But we said it. A few years ago, when I left active pastoral ministry, it was God at work, and it was hard to say Hanani. But by God's grace, we were able to do that. A couple of years ago, we began to face some health problems. I had three surgeries on my eye. I had a prostate surgery that took really months to get over. And then Anne had a slight stroke, and then she fell and broke her kneecap, and then she was diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia. Now, all my life, God has blessed me with good health. I've never had anything like that, and then suddenly I'm facing not only that, but then in the midst of all of this, July 4th, a year ago, I woke up stumbling around. I ended up in the hospital. They said it's a stroke. Every day, every minute of the day, I'm reminded of the effect of that. And it's not a que sera, sera. It's being able to say, Hanani, Lord, I'm here. This is your doing. It didn't just happen to me. It's part of God's plan. You know where I'm going. I don't know if I can get there. Anne came down with leukemia, couldn't be treated. And in fact, it's exactly a year ago this Sunday that she spent her last day together with us at home as a family. And when God took Anne, the challenge was, can I say Hanani? Now listen, I buried parents and sisters and dozens of people in church, but this is a whole different thing. Somebody gave me a book that was called Seasons of Sorrow by Tim Challies. He had lost his son, young son, and he called it his manifesto. And I took it and adapted this. And I want to read this to you as a tribute to Anne, but ultimately as a way to say Hanani. And this is something that I go back and I read every week or two, sometimes more often than that, to remind myself that even in this tragic loss, I have to say, Hanani, here I am, Lord. So this is my Hanani. O Lord, by faith, I'll accept Ann's death as your perfect will, and by faith accept that your will is always good. By faith, I'll be at peace with your providence, and by faith at peace with its every decree. By faith, I praise you in the taking as I did in the giving, and by faith receive from your hand this sorrow as I've had so many joys. I will grieve but not grumble, mourn but not murmur, weep but not whine. Though I'll be scarred by Anne's death, I'll not be defined by it. Though it will always be part of my story, it will never become my identity. I'll be forever thankful that you, O Lord, gave me such a godly wife, and never resentful that you called her home. My joy in having loved Anne will be greater than my grief in having lost her. I will not waver in my faith, nor abandon my hope, nor revoke my love. I'll not charge you, O Lord, with wrong. I will receive this trial as a responsibility to steward, not a punishment to endure. I'll look for your smile in it rather than your frown. Listen for your words of blessing rather than your voice of rebuke. This sorrow will not make me angry or bitter, nor cause me to act out in rebellion or indignation against you. Rather, it will make me kinder and gentler, more patient and loving, more compassionate and sympathetic. It'll lose my heart from the things of earth and fix it on the things of heaven. The loss of my wife will make me more like your son Jesus, my sorrow like the man of sorrows. Here's my Hineni. I'll continue to love and trust you, O Lord. I'll continue to pursue communion with you and enjoy you. I'll continue to worship you and boast of your many mercies. I'll look afresh with longing to the day of Christ's return and with expectation to the day of the resurrection you promised. I'll remain steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That was Anne's life verse. I'll forget what lies behind and strain toward what lies ahead, always pressing on toward the prize of your upward call in Christ Jesus. I'll lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely and run with endurance a race that is set before me, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. I will remain faithful to you while I fight the good fight and then finish the race and so keep the faith. I will die as I have lived, a follower of Jesus Christ. Then by grace I'll go to be with Jesus and so be with Anne. This is my Hineni. You understand why I've written this out? I've written this out to remind myself to go back and not just think about this, but to say this to the Lord. It's one thing to talk about God to other people. It's another thing to talk to Him. The Hineni is not what you're telling somebody else. It's what you're saying to God. So the question becomes, well, where and when does this happen? Friends, every time in the morning you open up your Bible and you read, God's talking to you. You need to say, Hineni, here I am. I'm ready, Lord. I've got my Bible. I'm listening, Lord. What do you want me to know? What do you want me to feel? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to believe? In His providence in your life, whether it's a big bonus check from work or whether it's a cancer diagnosis, that's when we say, Hineni. Here I am, Lord. I'm ready. I'll go. What do you want me to do? In the sermons that you hear preached from this pulpit, what do you do with the truth of God that you hear Sunday by Sunday? I hope you're saying, Hineni. When Pastor Logan and Pastor Paul and others stand up here to proclaim. They're not just giving you some thoughts to think about. They're speaking to you from God's Word. This is God's Word to you. Your response is, Hineni, here I am, Lord. You know, what do you want me to hear? The books that you read. The conversations that you have with one another, the illnesses that come into your life, the celebration of a new baby in your family or whatever it is. Friends, it's not that God occasionally shows up. He's always there. In everything that's taking place, God is there. And the question is, are you going to talk back to Him? Are you going to say, no way, not doing it, not today? Or are you going to answer back and say, Hineni, here I am. With all of the weaknesses, with all of the frailties. And friends, let me tell you, I'm not presenting these things as an example of triumph. I'm sharing these things as the struggle of one who's a covenant child, who's deeply infected with sin, but graciously being transformed by the power of the gospel. And friend, if you're here today and you have your back turned on God, let me tell you what a tragic mistake. Remember Pharaoh. Remember Jonah. Remember Judas. They turned their back on God and snubbed him. My friend, the gospel holds out to you a way to restore that life and come back into a right relationship with your covenant Lord. If you don't know Him, man, today, I want to tell you, turn to Him in faith and trust Him. My Hineni came, now get this, 70 years ago. That's when I said, Hineni. I would love for that to be, today is your Hineni to the Lord. But most of you here are believers, and you've all got some issues going on. Is your back turned toward God because you're disappointed? He doesn't hear your prayers. He hasn't fixed the problems you've asked Him about. You still have the same boss. You still have the same grumpy neighbors that make your life miserable. Are you talking back to God and telling Him how He should have done it? I still remember a guy in our Bible study. We were talking about one of the things Jesus said. And he said, well, it should be like this. I said, well, Jesus said it this way. He said, I know, but Jesus should have said it this way. Friends, don't be like that. Some of these Hinenis are horrifically hard. It's not the quesara, sara. It's feeling the weight, the heaviness, the burden. But knowing you're not alone in this, because we have a covenant God. I want to call you today to say, not just say it, but to mean it. Whatever is going on, to say Hineni. And go back on the internet. Listen to the song by the Liberated Wailing Wall called Hineni. You will be blessed. There's a great benediction in Numbers chapter 4. You remember that? You know, may the Lord His face shine on you, you know, and give you peace. Friend, that comes by being able to say, here I am. Here I am. I love what Mary said. Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we bow before You today, and we acknowledge that in so many ways we turn our backs to You. We plug our ears. We busy ourselves with a lot of other junk in our lives. And we don't see You at work in the trials, in the blessings, in the daily walk of life. God, how I pray that you would stir our hearts afresh to be able to say, here I am. As Jesus said when he came into this world, here am I, Lord. Send me. I've come to do your will. Lord, would you give us that kind of heart today? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Church, let's stand and sing the song in response.